diversity of the body of Christ. I was thinking about this, and I do believe that Chick is probably the most diverse gathering of Covenanters on the planet. I think so. And those taking part in Chick come from a great variety of ethnicities, a great variety of cultural backgrounds, genders, and abilities. It's just a tremendously diverse gathering of the body of Christ. And for those 5 days, they come together. So many different and diverse followers of Christ, and experience a unique expression of the kingdom of God as the body of Christ. And the theme for this year's Chick, as you see up on the screen there, is unite. Unite. At Chick, students will learn through a variety of experiences what it means to live into and to celebrate this incredible diversity of the body of Jesus. And as I was reflecting on that a little bit in the weeks leading up to Easter, the latter part of the Lenten season, it occurred to me that this is an important and timely theme in today's divided and polarized climate. And not just for those who will be able to be a part of Chick, but I think it's an important and timely theme for the whole church. To live in unity, let's be honest, to live in unity is hard. To truly value our differences, to respect divergent opinions, to celebrate each other's uniqueness while worshiping God and pursuing Christ's mission together in the world is hard. And like any movement populated by human beings, us, we're more naturally, I think, pulled in the direction of uniformity. For it is true, I believe, that the more we think we have in common with one another, the less work it takes to get along with each other. But in the Bible and throughout the scope of Scripture, you see that God has an infinitely better idea than uniformity. I mean, all you have to do is look around in creation, right? Both at humanity, both in the animal world, throughout the diversity of creation. Our God is infinitely creative. He delights in the variety and the expression of His godliness through the variety of creation. And Christ's body, the church, is to be an incredible witness to that incredible diversity through an incredible ethic of love that God has for all humanity. And one of the ways, one of the most powerful ways that love gets expressed is through a truly genuine unity, not uniformity. And to unite around a common Lord that we worship and a common mission is the purpose of the church. It's how we're to live together as an Easter people. So we're now in the season of Easter in the church year. It will go until, I think it's May 20th is when Pentecost Sunday arrives on the church calendar. And so for these next few weeks, we're going to be exploring this theme of unity. And the genuine unity, another reason this is so important is the genuine unity of Jesus' followers was a primary concern that Christ had as He faced the cross. And you see that in our text this morning. John 17, as many of you know, is sometimes entitled the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus. It's the most extensive prayer of Christ that we have recorded in the Bible. And it's the prayer that He prayed right before His crucifixion. It's preserved here in John's gospel, I believe, as a teaching vehicle. The original disciples, as well as all the readers of the gospel of John, are meant to kind of overhear Jesus' prayer to His Father so that we might learn something of the heart and the longings that Christ Himself had. First for Himself, For that's how the prayer begins. He prays for himself at the beginning of John 17, then for his followers who are with him, present physically at the time that he prays the prayer, but then also for all who will follow. And so what we have beginning in verse 20 of the text is Jesus' prayer for all who will follow, all who believe as a result of the faithful pursuit of the mission of Christ by his original followers. And so listen to what Jesus prayed for us, what Christ prayed for us. Look in your Bibles, once again, John 17, beginning in verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone, and by that he's referring to the disciples who are with him at this time when he is offering this prayer. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Us, this morning, and all other Christians from that point forward. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Now we need to stop, I think, and just pause right there and realize that greater unity in the church is only achieved as followers of Jesus draw closer to God through Christ. What Jesus is saying in the first part of verse 21 is that the basis for unity in the church is spiritual intimacy, is closeness with Jesus himself. I've probably shared this before at a time or two here, but if you think of the church as like this great gathering of people from all nations, all tribes, all sorts of people expressing the wonderful diversity and creativity of our Lord here, and you think of Christ and the Lord God, the Holy Spirit, the triune God here, think of a triangle, okay? And as we collectively, as individuals, and then forming the body, draw closer to Christ, we draw closer to one another. So the basis for unity in the body of Christ has to do with our own closeness and spiritual intimacy with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So as we draw closer to Jesus, we will draw closer to fellow believers. And what that says is in order to experience unity, whether it be in the Church Universal or the local church, Edgebrook Covenant Church, or whatever local body of believers, your own walk with Jesus matters tremendously for the body that you are a part of. Your own life with Christ, your own willingness to obey and to follow and learn and grow in your faith matters tremendously for the overall health and unity of the body of Christ. We will learn to value our differences more as we grow closer to one another. We will learn to respect diverse opinions more as we grow closer to one another. For as we draw closer to Him, we draw closer to one another as we journey together in Christ. And that's why Jesus goes on to say in the second part of that verse, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. As our fellowship and love for God deepens, our fellowship and love for others, especially within the body of Christ, also grows and also deepens. And why is genuine unity in Christ in this way such a powerful witness for who Jesus is in the world? It's because it's grounded in an ethic of love. And this goes back to something Jesus said that's recorded earlier in John's gospel, in John 13, 35. He says, by this everyone will know that you are my followers, that you are my disciples, if you love one another. If you love one another. And love does not demand that we all be the same. Love respects those differences. Love values different perspectives and opinions. And love always calls us to a deepening relationship with Christ. because we are, through the love of Christ, becoming a people who truly value our differences, who respect those divergent opinions, who celebrate each other's uniqueness, while together worshiping our risen Lord, together pursuing Christ's mission in the world, in order that the truth of the gospel then becomes embodied in Jesus' followers. But there's more. There's more. Look in verse 22. Because Jesus there tells us, now strap it down, get ready for this. This is incredible. I have given them, you and me, the glory that you gave me, that they may be one in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Now think about that. The glory of God is revealed in the unity of Christ's church. That together, our worship, our words, our shared work and mission of Jesus is intended to exhibit the same glory of God that Christ exhibited when he walked on this earth. And as you just go back through the scriptures a little bit into the Old Testament and recall the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, the presence of God among his people, it is an awesome thing. It's an incredible power. It's holy. It's beautiful. It's compelling. It's what Moses encountered when he was up on Mount Sinai right before he received the Ten Commandments. This being in the very presence, the very glory of God. And after that, God's glory came down to dwell among his people. It was focused in the tabernacle at first, and then it was focused in the temple in Jerusalem. But when Jesus came to live on this earth, he became then the embodiment of God's glory. He replaced the temple in Jerusalem as the place where God's glory dwelt. And that's why Jesus could say when he was asked about the temple in Jerusalem, knock this temple down and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And as the gospel writer, notes, Jesus is not talking about the physical temple. He's talking about his own body, because it is in his body that the glory of God now is dwelling. It's not in the building anymore. And John, of course, he's just, when he records this this prayer of Jesus, I mean, he's remembering what he wrote earlier in the gospel in John 1:14. He talks about how in the incarnation, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling literally tabernacled. The glory of God came to live among us in the person, in the physical body of Jesus. And so John goes on to say in verse 14 of the first chapter, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And so now what Jesus is declaring in this prayer is that we participate in the very glory of God. We now embody that out in the world as followers of Jesus. And we do that in such a way that we might be brought to complete unity. So now we, as Christ followers, are to embody the glory of God as we worship and as we serve and as we learn to live together in genuine unity. Then the world will know, Jesus says, that God sent Christ and that God loves us, even as God loved his Son. So, in a world that is increasingly secularized, in a world that is increasingly polarized, in a world that is increasingly divided, where we are siloed with only those who think like us and act like us and believe exactly like us, there is desperately needed local communities of people who more than anything else love God, love one another, and love those beyond their fellowship with the same love that God has for them. In an increasingly secularized, polarized, and divided world, there is desperately needed local bodies of Christ that embrace and celebrate the wonderful mosaic of all nations, of all races, of all peoples who have come together to rejoice that Jesus is Lord and embody and live to share the good news of God's love and God's justice found in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to unite. That's what it means to dwell together in unity. To embrace that diversity with such joy, to see that as something that enriches our lives together and helps us move forward in knowing who God is and pushing that mission forward out in the world. Now, in the weeks ahead, we're going to learn that, how hard that is, but also how God worked through, failed and faulty human efforts. We're going to be looking at various stories of this and texts that teach about it. But as we learn to unite in this way, as the body of Christ, then we will truly live as Easter people. Let's pray together.